the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue.
Welcome to episode 91 of The Locker Room. We've got a great show for you today with our guest, Ryan Rosenthal, who is a trainer at the Dog Pound in Los Angeles, former D1 hockey player, good friend of ours. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined today by Cappy. And I don't even know your nickname yet, Brett. What do people call you?
I've mostly been a Brett my whole life, you know?
Yeah, that sucks, though.
I don't know if that means I don't have good friends or... Because it's funny, most of my like good friends from high school, Roslyn, all have like a weird nickname, and maybe no one likes me. I just realized that.
Anyway, it's funny, you zero nicknames over the years. There's got to be something.
You have a great last name. Like Handling is a great last name.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
but it's a mouthful.
I've had like coaches that have called me Handful, or like, you know, there's been nothing really that's stuck. A lot with like Hands or Fling. Some people call me Fling.
I don't like that.
It's mostly Brett.
Yeah, we got to work on that. I don't like calling you Brett.
Honestly, if you played hockey and you were in the locker room, I feel like you'd be a flinger. You'd be a flinger.
Flinger. Yeah, I like flinger, but I can't get used to that. Flinger sounds like a drinking game.
No. Laz, I do want to give you credit, though. I do want to give you credit, though, for mentioning our guest today very early on. Because we do want to apologize. We do sometimes forget, but we're just so excited to talk about like, the topics and shit like that we have. So. Not as excited as we are for our guests, though, of course.
Yes. And we do also owe a couple snaps and a couple claps to Cappy. He signed a pro contract with the Worcester Railers. Some people might think it's Worcester, but it's actually pronounced Worcester. I don't know. Cappy, did you even know that?
No, I did know that. I did.
You did? Okay.
I did hear from a lot of people that did not know that.
Yeah. Honestly, Worcester's not even that far. Maybe I'll take a drive up and watch a game if I don't have anything better to do.
Oh, nice, buddy. That's good. No clever. But no, I'm excited. Boston. I love the Boston area. I've been up there so many times. Like, I feel like when I was younger and like traveling. And I also know like surprisingly, like a fuck ton of people that are over in that area. So it'll be cool. I am excited, though, to go to a little spot, Mike's Pastries. I don't know if anybody's been there downtown. It's been there since like 1950. Oh, my God, boys. Talk about a spot that's just down the line. Some of the best cannolis I've ever had. Also, from a soup standpoint, New England clam chowder. It's one of my faves, not even from Boston, so I can't even imagine. I'm pumped to try that. You know me, big foodie. But yeah, besides the food and that shit, I'm excited for the season.
Congratulations, Cappy. That's really awesome. You know, to be honest, I haven't followed your entire hockey career, but I am now, and I'm happy for you, and I'm happy to watch you.
You weren't following him before?
I lightly, from afar.
It's cool, though. It's cool. I mean, like, obviously, I was with different organizations last season, which was my first year pro, but now I'm with, I guess, the Islanders farm team right now. So it'd be cool to see if I can work my way up in that system, and we'll see what happens. You never know. Bridgeport's really close to the AHL team, so it'd be a good experience.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And speaking of Boston, the Red Sox currently up 3-0 in the bottom of the third inning. And that's why Jake Asman's not here, because he's too stressed watching the Yankees game right now. We wish he was here, because I'd be literally giving the updates as we're recording. Like,
give Asman credit, though. If this was a Met game, I don't think I would be here. As much as the live reactions would be great, I don't think I could do it, especially on mute. It's tough enough watching a playoff game with volume. I went to a Mets wild card game a couple years ago. Like, the thing with the wild card game is they moved it to one game, and it really doesn't make sense after you play 162 games. But it's amazing for the fans and the viewers. Like, you can't recreate a one game series. I do think it's dumb, but like, there's so much juice on this.
I like it, and the reason why Asman can't be in here, because you weren't a part of the show yet, but I think like 3 weeks ago, Max is also a huge Mets fan, and I had like the Action Network notifications on my phone. So like, the Mets scored like 2 runs, and I was telling Max as it was happening, and it was like before he saw it on his TV. So he got really fucking mad and like actually got angry with me. So that's why they're all not in here. But speaking of the wild card,
I was gonna say, we need to go back and grab those clips, because Brett, the show was hilarious. Laz was calling him out, and Max was about to leave the podcast like straight up on air. Like, he wasn't answering the questions. He wasn't doing anything. He was so pissed.
But for a regular season game, he was that.
That's when the Mets were. They were still in the run, though. They were still in the hunt. So I guess, you know, he's an intense fan. He's a big sports fan. But as far as the wild card game goes, like, I think it's awesome that they did the one game. It's kind of a cool experience for these two teams that weren't necessarily going to make the playoffs to have like a game seven atmosphere. I don't think there's any way, any better way to do it. And, you know, I know you wanted to talk about basketball starting up. And I think last year what the NBA did with those playing games, like seven versus 10, eight versus nine, I thought that was awesome. Like, I love that. Yeah. For the NBA.
No, that was cool. But there's something different about that. You know, the NBA's 82 games last year was even less. But yeah, the NBA's on. I can't believe it's back on. It snuck up on me. I'm the biggest basketball fan. I'm a big Knicks fan. And I honestly feel like it came a little too soon. I kind of need a little bit more space, you know, because what happened was with the COVID season, it was pushed back, the playoffs. So there was less offseason. And also because the draft and free agency is so big, you know, in basketball these days with Twitter and everything, their season's really only been done for a month. So I'm excited for the Knicks. I'm flipping with it right now, but it feels a little soon.
Wait a second. Basketball's on right now?
Preseason.
That's my point. It's like it really snuck up because football, you know, everyone's now in football mode. You know, it's only week four. You know, basketball preseason kind of sucks, honestly.
I will say this, though. Got to be coming up or honestly right now, best time of the year. I mean, we got football. We got basketball. We got hockey just finishing up preseason. We got baseball prime for playoffs. Like, there's no better time.
I don't know if I agree. I mean, this is a great time of year, but I think it's so much better in April when the NBA playoffs start, when the NHL playoffs start, when baseball's just starting up, March Madness is on, the Masters, like that to me is the best time of year. But this is a great time of year too, Cap. And it was nice. I take the train home from work. I went to the Garden tonight, saw a bunch of people in Knicks jerseys. That was a good feeling. I'm going to the Rangers home opener next Thursday. That'll be fun. I haven't been to MSG since like Christmas of 2019, so I'm excited to step foot back in MSG again.
Well, I was gonna change the topic, to be honest with you, and talk about something that we didn't even think about to talk, was that a big week for NFL football this last Sunday that we didn't even talk about, with the Giants and the Jets both winning in 1 week. I know you even said in our group text, this is like biggest week of football for you said something along the lines of that. You said I don't know if it was from a betting
I was saying for me personally, the Giants won. I won a couple bets. I won fantasy, I won Survivor. Like, usually it's the exact opposite. The Giants lose a heartbreaker. The bets go down. I don't know. Are you guys Jets or Giants fans?
I'm Giants. Yeah, Cappy is too. Yeah.
I mean, Giants and the Jets both winning in overtime, right? Won in overtime. First wins of the season. You know, Daniel Jones looked good. I know Zach Wilson looked solid. There's a rare big weekend for football in New York.
The best thing in the weekend that I saw, though, I'm a huge Big Cat fan. I love Big Cat and his tweet. He tweeted Sunday morning before the game started. I really like the Jets and Giants today. It's really sick and perverted of me. And then all the reply tweets were so funny. Like, people like, oh, you're just trying to lose bets now. And then Big Cat went and responded to all those people. I'm like, oh, really, bud? Yep. You know, like all this stuff. And he cracks me up, man. Like, his shit's so funny. And
then he wore his Danny Dimes jersey to record part of my take, took off his sweatshirt, revealed it, then looked at the Giants schedule. They have the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Bucks. They have a really tough schedule, put his sweatshirt back on and hit the shirt.
I feel like there were so many easy, obvious picks this weekend. Like Arizona was an underdog and the Ravens were an underdog. Those are good teams that were the underdogs in games. And I was like, why? It doesn't make sense to have the two, probably two out of the best five quarterbacks be underdogs.
No, 100%. But speaking of underdog, I do want to talk about our lovely sponsor. Thank you for just the lovely transition, Johnny.
Totally
Underdog Fantasy. If you want to go 8-2 like our boy Laz over there and get back into the game, go to underdogfantasy.com. It's one of the best out there right now. And let's talk about Underdog for a second. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy for big cash prizes on Underdog Fantasy. You just draft. No need to worry about waivers, lineups, or injuries. Underdog handles it all for you. Go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, draft a season-long best ball team, and that's it. No in-season management. They're going to give you $25 when you sign up, so you can take a free shot of the $1 million grand prize in their fantasy football tournament. That's right. You can get $25 in bonus cash on Underdog Fantasy if you use code LOCKA when you make your first deposit. I personally love Underdog because it's just so easy to use. The mobile app is slick. The website is user-friendly. So do what I've been doing. Go to underdogfantasy.com, join a league, draft a team, and that's it. You're good for the season. Remember, underdogfantasy.com, the App Store or Google Play Store. Sign up with our code LATKE, L-A-T-K-E, and get free $25 in bonus cash. Laz, I'm kind of curious though. I did see, and I'm very jealous that you went to the We Met at Acme and Jake Miller a little shindig with our boy Maxie. Extremely jealous. How was that? Wait, first off, did you see Jake at all?
Yeah, we actually we went out after. Like it was like him and all of his friends, and then Jenny obviously was there with all of her friends, and I had a couple of friends like in that mix. So we went to a bar after Jake came. I was talking to their parents a lot. Like the parents are so cool. Shout out to the Miller parents. They're awesome. Like I literally texted Jenny after, or DM'd her. I was like, I literally love your parents. Like, I want them
How
to be
many
my
times? How many times did you tell them? Oh yeah, like how many times did you like reference that to Jenny? That like, oh, you guys only sang because you came on the podcast, and we tried to convince you so many times because remember they said they
No.
never like sang together.
No, I know that had nothing to do with us, but that was really cool. And Jenny
Oh,
crushed it. Like,
obviously, yeah.
yeah, that song is, I never heard that song before. So I'm actually a huge fan of that song, Palm Boulevard. It was great. I'm sure that's like the street they grew up on, I think. But yeah, no, Jake was awesome, and LPR is a great spot. Like I'm sure Brett, you've been to LPR a bunch, I'm sure. But
LPR was like our main spot when I
yeah.
graduated.
It always
And I
is.
haven't been back. And I haven't been back in like probably 4 years. And I can't imagine, I honestly, I can't imagine Jake Miller playing a concert there, because it's always like, I don't know if I'm always drunk or disoriented, but like, how many was it just packed up, or was it just like, I guess, is that place big? It feels tiny from what I remember.
No, it definitely fills up. I mean, it's obviously not a huge venue, but it's like a perfect place for like live music. I love it. Like I think it's such an awesome time. And we went to a bar after across the street, and like I was out to like 2 a.m. on like a Thursday night. I was so hungover at work the next day. It was miserable. But I gotta give a shout out to Alex Rosner and Bagel Boss, because I woke up Friday hungover, went to Bagel Boss on like 14th Street, and Alex was there. It was the first time I met him in person, and he gave me free bagel, free coffee. So I was like, dude, you're literally curing my hangover. You're the man.
What a
What
beauty.
about your late night order?
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't eat dinner that night. So I ordered Taco Bell to my friend's apartment, fell asleep before it came. Nothing worse than a $40 charge of Taco Bell and you don't even get to eat it. So that sucked. But I didn't even give a shout out to Lindsay Metzler yet. Her event was awesome too. I went to Make Believe before, was there for like an hour and a half. Great time. Make Believe is a good spot. Talked to some girls. A girl actually asked me for my number, and then I had to hit her with a, sorry, I have a girlfriend. But no, it was a lot of fun. I was like giving girls dating advice. I was like, I'm the last fucking person you want to listen to for dating advice.
Well, so what was it? It was a singles event. It was just like a social.
Yeah, it's like a single social meetup. She's probably gonna have another one in a couple weeks, and I'll probably go. It was a lot of fun. It was great to meet her in person too for the first time, and her boyfriend, Steven, he's the man.
Did you see any like fan?
Fiance.
Yeah, fiance, good
Fiance,
call.
yes,
And
fiance,
did
fiance.
you see any fans there? Oh, I heard your episode.
Dude, yeah, people recognize us, and Lindsay apologized about it, but like the one clip she posted of us was like we sound like the biggest douchebags
I
ever. So like,
know, I
so people are
100%.
like, wait, I watched that clip of you guys, and I thought you were assholes when I listened to the episode, and you guys are like so cute.
What was it? I think I missed it.
It was mostly me sound, and Cappy, you did say like, oh, she must be a fucking bitch, but like the question was kind of like, it was do guys like compliment girls so they can get a compliment back? And the way I worded it, I said that if I complimented a girl and call her pretty, like I and she just said like thank you, I wouldn't talk to her. But like I meant that in like if she didn't engage in a conversation for my compliment, like if she just said oh thank you and like that was it and like went
I
back
know
to
you're
her
saying, yeah,
friends,
like,
yeah. But I
yeah.
worded it very poorly, where I basically said if she like didn't like say something nice about me, then she's an asshole.
I gotta listen to it back. I gotta figure out what I said
Yeah,
exactly.
that clip is it's bad.
Yeah,
It's really bad.
because like we got off the interview too with Lindsay, and Lindsay's obviously like we've been at Acme, like big podcast, like you know, like she does great. Like we
We were
were like,
scared.
we didn't know it was gonna be us, and like at the end of it, we all like called each other and we're like, we thought that went really well. And then she posts the clip and we're like, oh fuck.
Like there was like 40 comments, like the fragile male ego, and I was like, oh God. Yeah, but it's all in good fun. Like we don't take that stuff personally. Like it is what it is.
No,
But
it
I
was
guess
great.
while we're talking about funny stories, I got a funny story from this past weekend. I can't name the name, but a good friend of mine was flying from LA to New York and sat like literally in row 38 of the plane, and literally in the chair behind her was Kanye West. Like I'm still trying to like grasp the thought of, because Kanye West is arguably a top five most recognizable person on the planet.
It's 100% accurate too. You got a picture or something? You
No,
have to. You
it
got a
is it
snap?
is like 100% like picture, video, like totally
Okay,
confirmed.
got it.
Complex posted it. Like it's confirmed.
Was he wearing like that I've seen like pictures of him on private planes, like the thing where it's just like he's just like all black, the face mask where you can't
If
really see who he is.
if you go to his last Instagram post, or like maybe it's from 2 days ago, he's wearing like a Balenciaga hat or something. Yeah. He was wearing the exact same outfit. So like it's confirmed. Oh, yeah. God. I sent you the picture.
I saw the picture. First of all, it's crazy. Second of all, yeah. Kanye can really go both ways. Like I could see him like, you know, obviously rented in a plane and not even letting his family fly with him because he needs a space. He needs like everything. Or he could just fly coach with a hat and AirPods and just, you know, let it go. It's crazy, but it's also like he would do this just to do it for whatever reason.
That's exactly like what I said.
That divorce money is.
I was definitely dissecting it though. I was like, that's not Kanye. No way that's Kanye. Right? Like, I was like, yeah, I like didn't believe it for like the first 2 hours. And then finally it was like proven. So I was like, oh my God, like that's the coolest thing ever. my mom tonight, I told my mom the story and she was like, who's Kanye West? I was like, what?
Oh my God. Don't.
What? Yeah.
Did not do that.
Yeah, she did. It was
horrible. That was like, there was a TikTok going around where some guy's girlfriend couldn't recognize LeBron James, which is like, your mom hasn't she never heard the name Kanye West?
No, she has. Like, I think I don't know. She probably was just
really, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, speaking of TikTok, since you just mentioned that, boys, what the fuck was all about that little outage with Facebook and Instagram? Like, it was kind of wild. I really didn't even like process it. Like it was even going on until like I kept checking like after every like hour, not even like every hour. You know, like when you just like normally just turn your phone on, you click Instagram, and you just like. And then you're just like, you know what? It's probably down for a couple minutes. Then like you realize it's still fucking down.
So it was down for all day. I did the thing. I probably checked my phone more than you type. I did the thing where you just keep forgetting that it's down. So exactly, you check exactly, and then yes, it's, yes. And it's the same picture. And then you start to get so sick of the picture. And I had this girl and it was like a really like basic picture. Like she was at the pool or something. And you just get so sick of that picture. You start to hate that person. Do you know what the picture is on top of your feed, or maybe you don't check Instagram as much?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. It's probably one of your followers and it's the same picture and it's the only thing you could see.
The same picture.
You're trying to refresh the page. You're forgetting it's fucking broken. Yeah.
Mine was, we met at Acme. Mine was hers. It was actually her the whole day. But that's so funny too, because so many people are like, oh my God, I felt so much more productive yesterday because Instagram is down. And then, there's people who are like, wait, I like literally knowingly checked Instagram knowing that it was down 40 times during the day, even though I knew it was down. Yep.
But I love these moments, kind of these like cultural touch point community moments where we're all sort of the same. Because the memes start coming, everyone sort of flocks to Twitter. There's so many good jokes. I saw one of my favorites was like, have they tried Control Z? There's like, every put joke in rice. Comes out.
Yeah.
You put in a rice. Like, I just love these type of moments. It's sort of like, it's not the same, but someone mentioned yesterday, remember that like 2 hour, maybe hour period where if you were verified on Twitter, you couldn't tweet?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember this?
No.
It was one of my favorite days of the year. There was an hour. That's so happy. There was an hour on Twitter. There was an hour on Twitter where you couldn't tweet if you were verified. And just the jokes and the memes come out. I just love these like moments where everyone just sort of has the same shit going on.
You know what I just find absolutely absurd is like these grandmas and grandpas like that decade just laughing at us. Like these fucking kids are losing their mind. Like Brett just said, something cultural just happened to us. Like Instagram and Facebook went down for 5 hours. Like it's like these old people are just like, give me a fucking break. Like, are these fucking kids serious right now? But it's true.
Honestly though, my girlfriend's roommate Bobby made an amazing point. She actually said, like, I wish there was a statistic for companies that like lost money because of it. Not like lost money, but I guess a lot of companies make money through Instagram every day. So I wonder like what the deficit or what the thing was.
Was that stock? Are you kidding me? The stock in Twitter probably, I mean, I'm not a big stock guy, but I'm sure the stock skyrocketed for Twitter when this was going on.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm curious to hear those statistics.
And Facebook went down like 5%. It was such an easy, obvious buy this morning because it went back up. Not all the way, but also like, when these things happen, these little rumors get started, like one tweet. I don't know if you saw some account posted like Facebook's not just down, it's gone. Like someone erased the whole code and then someone runs with it. Then someone at Barstool posted about it and this, it snowballs. I love that too.
I was scared for a second. I saw someone tweet that it was an inside job to get like everyone's information. I mean, there's that episode of South Park, like Denmark, whatever. Is that what you're going to say, Cap?
I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to say something similar on the lines of, I saw something that, what's his name? Who's the creator of Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg. Are you fucking kidding me?
I just didn't want to fuck up and stand here and you
laugh. Oh, I wish you guessed. I shouldn't have said anything.
So I saw something that Zuckerberg was like doing this on purpose and was starting a whole new Facebook and going to call it something else and just, you know.
Dude, it'd be smart of him, honestly, because everyone would do it. If all that shit was gone, everyone would go somewhere else.
Run with Zuckerberg and then just Facebook's down for 5 hours and then just all this other platform comes up called Facebook.
Yeah, no, literally. I would do it.
We need a sequel to Social Network, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Great movie.
So much shit has happened. That movie came out at least 10 years ago.
I think 04.
So much shit has happened.
No, not 04. 04 was like,
no.
04 was like created. That was dumb.
Probably like 09. We need another one. I can't wait till that comes out. Okay, yeah. What were you saying, sir?
One of the few films I hate Justin Timberlake in, because he's like kind of an asshole in that movie, but like he's still
no, but he's actor. He's a beast though.
He is, yeah, he is.
Sean Parker,
yeah.
Beast. But while we're on the topic, I think we should go into our OFM, which I actually wrote in the chat like a week ago, and then all this shit kind of went down, so it was perfect timing.
Very
so this
weird.
Week it's Twitter, Instagram, and then we'll categorize together Snapchat and TikTok. I mean. Not a huge TikTok guy, but Brett seems to be one. So Brett, we'll lead it off with you or Flinger or whatever the fuck your nickname is.
We categorize TikTok in another category besides Snapchat, or is that like the proper
category? I don't know. I mean, we can kind of like, I guess you can just pick three out of the four, maybe. I don't know.
So Laz, you wrote in the group this OFN, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Personally, I have no connection anymore with Snapchat. I used to, we still use it. Like my group of friends still use it a little bit. I don't chat with it. I don't use it at all. So I said it would be tougher with TikTok. I'm borderline addicted, obsessed with TikTok. I don't know how you guys are not into it. I guess if you got a little bit into it, you'd probably be addicted also. It's just constantly good feed, entertainment, the best jokes. Anyway, this might be a little surprising. My never is going to be Instagram. You know, 5 years ago, I probably used Instagram more than any of these. I've just sort of slowed, you know, weaned off of it a little, and especially TikTok has taken it over. So that brings me to, I love Twitter and I love TikTok. Twitter's like my backbone. It's like all my sports. It's like everyone who knows me well and knows like how social media I am knows that I love Twitter. So Twitter is going to be my forever. It's going to be around longer. It's more dependable. It's more, it's that rock. Twitter is that rock to me, and TikTok was my once.
Yeah, I could agree with most of that, except for it's all shit. No, I'm just I wouldn't categorize Snap. I hate categorizing Snapchat and TikTok because I guess just from my standpoint, like I honestly don't touch TikTok because I get my fill of TikTok from like Instagram reels. Like that's where I'm at. I literally go on Instagram, refresh the top and literally just go on it. And then that's my swiping for Instagram. And it's the same thing as TikTok. It's all the TikToks that are literally on. It's basically identical. So with that being said, I'm going to do Instagram as my forever and ever, because I just love Instagram. I love like the whole just posting pictures aspect of it. I feel like I find myself on Instagram the most, mainly because of that TikTok factor, maybe because I'm scrolling too, but I just enjoy it. And I feel like that's where most of my followers come from as well. My never, shockingly, Brett, I'm going to do Twitter. I don't post on Twitter as much. Laz is a Twitter fiend and Twitter hound. I feel like that's already going to be his forever. I already know it.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. I love scrolling on Twitter. I think Twitter has like a specific like niche compared to like Instagram and Snapchat and them from a standpoint of like people could basically say whatever the fuck they want kind of thing, which I do love, but just not like, you know, something that I do too much. With that being said, my wants is going to be Snapchat / TikTok, but definitely Snapchat. I use Snap all the time. I feel like I find myself, specifically the reason why I'm keeping this is because I'll take a lot of my friends who I don't have their phone numbers, who like I keep in touch with, not like as frequently as other people. That's how I stay in contact with them, is like through their snaps. For instance, one of my good buddies, Laz Nikita Litviak, mm-hmm. Literally the only way I keep in touch with this kid, he's from Russia, is through Snapchat. So like if I didn't have that, I hear from him like once or twice a month. And if I didn't hear from my baby Nikita, I don't know what I would do with my life. So I'm gonna keep that with my wants.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And honestly, that kind of changed my perspective a little bit. I do have to agree with, I mean, I love them all. I'm not huge on TikTok, but I do love it and I do appreciate it. Like, it's great for the train when I'm commuting in the morning. If I, like, you know, if I'm listening to a podcast or if I don't have anything to listen to, it's perfect for the train. Perfect.
For somebody to train, it's literally time travel. You get on the train, you start flipping, throw in whatever, just flip. It's, you're there. You're there. It's really crazy.
I do love and appreciate it, but then again, I do hate that, like, if I'm on my 4 year or whatever, it's like a constant, like, same trend and like kind of gets old and you can't, like, go digging for new stuff really. It's like all kind of the same in that sense. You know, like, I don't really, but then again, I don't really follow people on it. Like, I follow a couple people. Brett, we also might need you to just run our TikTok because we have a TikTok.
Oh, Brett.
Yeah.
Brett's good. Yeah. Brett would kill our TikTok for sure.
Yeah, you should run it. I'll give you the password after. We actually almost have 1,000 followers on TikTok, believe it or not.
Yeah. It's honestly because the videos that we post do better on TikTok. Like, some of the ones that you post, they blow up for sure.
Yeah. Wait, I have to do my forever once and never.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
I haven't even decided. I think I'm actually, like, tossing Instagram. And don't get me wrong, I love Instagram. But then again, I didn't even really check yesterday when it went down. Like, I didn't, like, notice it so much. I do post a lot on Instagram, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not disregarding it in any sense, but I also don't like what it does to our, like, society. Like, I think Instagram's, like, the biggest, like, insecurity one out of the four.
Yeah, Photoshop for sure. There's so many.
That makes sense. You know, like, I mean,
before you continue, Laz, sorry.
No, you're good.
Like, it's on the tip of my, like, the amount of people that you come across where it's like, oh yeah, like, they look like this in their Instagram, but they don't look that like that in person. Like, so I do understand from what you're saying from that standpoint.
Or even just the, like, amount of fun you're having and all that. Because, like, Instagram really is, like, it's a show. Like, you want to promote the best life that you're living. Like, it's just the reality of what it is. And yeah, there's people who talk about mental health and stuff, but, like, Instagram, there's so many people. How many people do you know that, like, you know, I need an Instagram cleanse for a month because of my mental health? Like, it's like, you don't hear that about, like, Twitter really, or Snapchat or TikTok. I mean, maybe you do, but not anyone I know.
TikTok's getting there.
It's getting there.
I agree. Instagram's it's getting there.
Really?
I think with the sheer amount of hours that me, I'm gonna say the kids, the younger kids, but also me, are spending on it, that it's becoming that also. Because,
but is it a mental health thing, like insecurity thing?
It will become, I can't imagine it doesn't become that, just because it's the same thing with followers. It's the same thing with getting likes and comments and wanting to show yourself off and mm-hmm. show good dances. It's not quite there yet, but it's getting there.
You know what TikTok just gets me though, is just the fact that, like, these dances, like, I literally went to bed, like, last night with the fucking one song in my head. The sun goes down.
You see that UNC kid? That kid's hilarious. Have you seen that kid?
But, like, literally, that's, like, amazing. I literally was like my eyes were closed and I'm just like, dude, I can't fucking do this anymore.
If our listeners don't know what you're talking about, Laz, so there was a pledge at UNC. So they made him do some TikTok dances. He's not very, like, smooth or coordinated. It was a hazing thing, a fun hazing thing.
H word. Don't say the H word.
Okay. His TikTok started blowing up. I think he has probably maybe 350,000 followers now. He got on the UNC football field. He's doing dances. It started as a joke, and it just made him famous. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's Cappy. That's why I sent that Snapchat to our old team tonight. I wish TikTok was around when we had this kid, Nick Rosa, who's, like, one of my favorite people on the planet. And he was, like, literally the similar kind of guy, like, such a goofy dancer, like, so, like, not smooth or coordinated, but, like, he was, like, he like, owned it. And, like, after wins, he would, like, do the, what was it? The cha-cha slide. And he was so weird. And it was so funny. Like, I wish it was around.
It was the best thing.
It was the best.
We had, like, a cha-cha slide remix song that we would put on, and Rosa
would always do his thing.
Oh my God, it was amazing. But back to your forever and ever and discovered evers.
So I'm tossing Instagram out of those. I'm obviously, you guys already knew, I'm marrying Twitter. Like, I literally have my work, I think I said this before in the podcast, but I have my work laptop in front of me and my personal to the left of me, and it's always just on Twitter. Like, I just hit refresh. Like, I probably tweet 10 times a day on average, maybe more. But I love
Twitter. You go double laptop?
Yeah, I have the work laptop attached to the monitor, the big monitor in front of me. And then when I can look over and kind of chill, I'm on the personal one.
Love that.
But I also, back to part of my take, I know we gave them a shout out already, but, like, shout out to Jake Marsh, a friend of ours. But Hank said something on an old episode. He said, I wish every time someone went into Twitter, they had to tweet. like every time you go actually on it, you have to post something before you get off of it, because there's so many, you know, there's so many people who just like go and scroll, and maybe some people even troll or whatever, but you should have to go on and like post a thought every time you open the app. Can you imagine?
I'm just picturing like you're trying to like slide off Twitter and just like boop, 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 post.
Yeah, you
something,
have to. Can't leave. Boop, boop. Can you imagine?
It's interesting. The purpose would be so that people don't just like sort of lurk in the shadows. Like
kind of, yeah. I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Sure. There would be some weird ass tweets. A lot more random stuff, but I guess also a lot of good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I'll go. So obviously I'm marrying Twitter, and then I'll go to Snapchat. I mean, I think these are both ones for me. Once, TikTok and Snapchat, like kind of like what Cappy said, I keep in touch with so many people that I probably wouldn't text or call, you know, on the day-to-day basis through Snapchat. Plus like, dude, who doesn't love the fact that it just goes away? I mean, obviously it might not actually go away, but the thought of like sending someone a picture and like knowing that they like probably won't or can't save it is just it creates the funniest stuff. Yeah, because
Lucas easily sends his dick to multiple people throughout the week. Like it has, like you Blue Mountain State, like the dick pic when you wake up in the morning, like Laz 100%. Like, well, same thing with Laz's poops. I guarantee multiple people get poop snaps in the morning.
No, but even Cap, like even when you're in a room with your buddies and like one of your friends like being a weirdo and you want to Snapchat your other friend, be like, what the fuck does this guy do? You know, like, I don't know, stuff like that. And then I think the coolest part about it all though is the memories. And Cappy, you're the biggest fucking Snapchat memory person I've ever met. You'd like story all your fucking memories every day. But which is great. I love it. I think it's awesome. But no, dude, like those are the great things. Like I love waking up and seeing like what I did 4 years ago, you know, and I think it's cool to have like when we're, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, like those are going to be great memories that we have. And the other, you know, I guess if you have the Time Hop app, you can look at the other ones, but
I love Time Hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess because I'm,
No, you're good. You're good. You're good, Brett. You're good, Brett. Go ahead.
I guess because I'm not using Snapchat. Yeah, I'm on the Time Hop. Yeah. By the way, you said you love them. I love them, but I also hate them sometimes. Sometimes I'm scared to press the next year because it might be like some drunken video or, you know, nothing really bad, but just like cringy stuff.
But that's the best.
I was the most cringiest human being back in the day. Like the stuff I would say on like Facebook. But like I just honestly at this point I own it. Like, bro, I was the kid who was like writing like, to be honest, like my wall, and I'll.
We all
like,
did that though.
Like,
I stupid, did that,
like stuff like that. But like on a note, like Laz, like the how I have like all the stuff on my Snapchat, like the all the flashbacks. That's because like when I was in college and stuff like that, like I never like when I was taking pictures and like stuff like that. When I'd go out, it'd always be like on Snapchat. I would never go off my camera roll.
Yeah,
so that's just like I don't know. That's just what I did.
It's true.
On that, yeah. On that note, we hope you guys love the OFN this week. Honestly, though, please send us if you have any OFN ideas. I feel like they just keep getting better and better, and they're honestly tough. Like they're really tough for us. Like I would like to keep all of them most weeks. But we do have to kick it over to the interview with our boy, Ryan Rosenthal. We know you guys are going to love him just as much as we do.
Enjoy. This guy grew up in Montvale, New Jersey, and was not bar mitzvahed. It's a controversy that we'll get into, but he played Division I hockey for the University of Vermont and Northeastern University, and now has become a fitness trainer at the Dog Pound in Los Angeles. Our new friend, I feel like we've known him forever just from 5 minutes in the Zoom, but welcome to the podcast, Ryan Rosenthal. Ryan, what's good?
Not too much, man. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Ryan pops in here very on brand with a protein shake, pounding an Essentia water, kind of giving us what we need, you know? I feel like an idiot. I took a CBD gummy and I'm just drinking like Poland Spring over here.
Well, you got to stay hydrated over there. And I was rushing to get here on time. And that's why I had the protein shake. I was glad we weren't recording yet. Always eating, always drinking water. Just got to fuel myself up.
Mm-hmm. Are you
talking about that? Let's talk about the fact that you're not bar mitzvah off the bat, because I feel like you've
get it out of the way. Been
in this situation so many times throughout your hockey career. With your last name just being Rosenthal, and like you probably had to explain to so many fucking people brought up like, hey, like I'm technically not Jewish, like give me a break.
I came across it literally everywhere that I played, which was a lot of different places, and everyone just kind of assumes that I am Jewish. So if anybody ever asks, that's when I'll get specific and tell them like technically I'm not Jewish. And that throws people off because they're like, how? Your last name's Rosenthal. Yeah. But yeah, my mom's Catholic. I was baptized, made communion. I was not confirmed, so I'm not like fully Catholic. But as I was telling you right before we started, my area growing up was like split down the middle. A lot of Jewish people, a lot of Catholic people. So I grew up kind of hanging with both. And by the time it came to the point where if I was going to decide to get confirmed or not, I was honestly just like, I kind of more feel Jewish than anything, just because everyone always assumed I was Jewish. Mm-hmm. So I didn't end up getting confirmed. I don't think either of my brothers did either. So just a mixed bag there. yeah, I always end up having to explain to people. Occasionally I just let it slide and say, yeah, I'm Jewish.
Well, let me ask you a more important question. What about dating? Are you into Jewish girls? Have you dated Jewish girls?
I am into Jewish girls. Uh-huh. I am. I've dated some Jewish girls. One of them, kind of long-term relationship, was Jewish. Same deal as me though. Half Jewish, mm-hmm. dad's side Jewish, mom's side Catholic. But I am attracted to Jewish girls. These in my blood, I guess.
You know what's the good thing about that though is with the last name Rosenthal, you might be able to sneak your way into like a Jewish dating website without them even knowing. The Locks
Club. You could be in the Locks Club. Yeah, you could be in the Locks Club.
So I haven't been on the apps recently. I kind of get hot and cold with them. Never really too hot. More like I make it and I'm like, why'd I do this? Mm-hmm. But the most recent one that I started kind of setting my profile up for was the Locks Club. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to complete my profile because it was like you had an option. It was like, I am Jewish or I'm just interested in dating Jews. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm somewhere in between. I need an in-between option here. Like, I'm kind of Jewish. I don't want to just be that weird guy that's just like, I want a Jewish girl.
Well, you don't need the dating apps. I mean, you can just DM any girl you want and they'll go see your 8-pack or 12-pack or however many abs that you have on your body and you'll be fine.
Here we go. I appreciate that. I'm a little shy on the DM game, honestly. Yeah. I should start trying more.
Well, Ryan's got a lot of hype coming into this because Ethan Fink, our last guest, who you actually know, claimed that he was top three, if not one, most handsome guy we've had on here, and you're probably good competition. I mean, we've had some studs on here, so you might have to take a look, or I don't know, people that follow us can rank it however you want to do it, but Ryan's definitely living up to the hype of the good-looking men guys in our podcast.
I will take a look. I don't think I was ever going to come on here and be like, I'm one of the best-looking guys you've ever had. He's kind of making it into a competition. I'll scroll through and see who's up there with me.
Selman had the lead for a while.
So, I mean, he's got to take a top spot too. No? Mm-hmm. He's got to be up there.
He's up there.
Ryan, when you were like playing hockey like throughout your career, especially like obviously in college and shit like that, like it's very well structured, like strength and conditioning and stuff like that. But like, were you in as good of shape as you were like when you were playing hockey? And like, if that, like, do you wish that you could have been in the shape you are now when you were playing hockey?
I've always been around the same size in terms of weight. I would say my body composition is different now. I've always been super lean. But when I was playing in school, I wasn't as defined upper body. I looked more just like I had some mass on me, especially like my legs. I've lost size in my legs since playing, not because I neglect them, just because I'm not skating every day.
I neglect them. I haven't done legs in months.
It's like the biggest struggle because my jeans used to fit me like really tight up there. And I'm not going to lie, like I would get a lot of compliments. Those have fallen off. And I'm like, I start looking in the mirror and I'm like, shit, I got to squat more or something. But no, I was big. I've always been pretty cut, like, even in college, and I definitely learned the hard way that that's not that important for hockey.
Yeah, you're not trap bar deadlifting as much as you were.
Your performance in the gym, they make a huge deal out of it, you know, fitness testing before the season. I was always super stressed about that. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't work on my skill set or anything in the off season as well, but I was so focused on like being the strongest guy in the weight room. It just doesn't always translate to the ice. So
And then on top of that, I do want to hear like all about dog pound and stuff like that. But do you see yourself possibly in the future, maybe getting into like back into the hockey side of thing or like maybe working for an organization, like a top level organization and helping their athletes?
That crosses my mind all the time. And it doesn't seem to be something that would be in the near future, but I'm currently studying to get a certification called Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, which pretty much any strength coach on a sports team has. It's like a prerequisite to train athletes or a team. And I do see myself maybe doing that if fitness continues to go really well. I would like to see someone progress, not only in the gym, but like in their sport as well, and take them through a program. Where at Dog Pound, it's a little bit different. It's more general population, really fun workouts. You're still helping people get healthier, get stronger. But they don't always have like that specific goal in mind. Whereas an athlete is like, I really need to work on my lateral movements. I really need to increase my core strength, push strength, whatever it may be. And you can kind of see them through that. And I think that would be really gratifying and rewarding to do.
So I talk about this all the time on here, but I was living in LA for like 3 months, about a year ago now. And when I was there, I was talking about joining a gym, and my friends that I was living with suggested the Dog Pound one night. And I was like, what the fuck is the Dog Pound? And they're like, it's like the secret underground gym that like all the celebrities go to. So you got to like tell me what the Dog Pound is, because, you know, I obviously follow you on Instagram and I, you know, I see the posts, and you're working out with, you know, pretty big celebrities. It seems like, you know, singers, influencers, all that kind of stuff. So is it like not for everyone, the Dog Pound, or is it like kind of that like Raya, like, you know, exclusive kind of thing?
Yeah. What do you need? What, how do you get in?
Yeah. What I can bench like 135 for 10 reps.
That's the prerequisite. It's for anybody. Obviously the way they advertise and, mm-hmm. and the marketing, they post a lot of the celebrities or influential people, but more often than not, we're training people with regular jobs. Mm-hmm. In LA, it's way different than New York because we see people from an entirely different industry. So even the hours are different. But I mean, 3 to 4 out of 5 clients aren't like someone you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of the posting and reposting that they do are the big clients, because then people see that and they're like, I want to train there.
Yeah.
So if you have the money and you're down, like that's really all it takes. But yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool to see that on a day-to-day basis.
And how was your like transition from hockey to like going into the Dog Pound? Obviously, because I mean, a lot of people don't know what the fuck they're going to do after hockey and stuff like that, especially like, I mean, going to pro. I know you had a little stint in pro hockey. We'll get into that a little bit too. What's up, Laz?
Well, I want to cut you off there, because Selman told me to ask him about how he got to the coast, because I heard you were doing real estate and then you just picked up and played pro hockey, and then now you're a trainer.
Yeah. Oh, do tell.
There's a lot in between me.
Yeah.
Graduating Northeastern and then becoming a trainer. There's over three years of time between that. Not just becoming a trainer, but becoming a Dog Pound trainer. Where should I start? When I got to the coast?
I guess just like after college, like figuring it out, you know, what you wanted to do, all that stuff.
So after college, I knew I still wanted to play hockey. I barely played senior year, especially like the second half of the year. And so I just like had this huge reality check where I was like, you know, my whole life, I thought like, for sure, I'll play at least in the minors for a few years, like maybe go to Europe. And then all of a sudden I found myself in this situation where I was like, no one's going to call me. Like I haven't played in 3 months. Like
I've been there.
who's going to take me on? And luckily, like I kept training that summer. I wasn't still training the same way because I was a little bit on the fence of like, am I even going to get a shot? Is it worth spending the money on training? I was going up to Prentice with Justin. I don't know if you know about Prentice Hockey. So that summer, I didn't really go there because it's thousands of dollars. And I'm like, well, how am I going to do this and why? I got a tryout with Norfolk that year, and I was doing pretty well at camp. Actually, I thought I was doing really well. But then when they called me in to actually release me like 2 days before the first game, we had this conversation where they're like, you're doing really well at camp, but we didn't even know who you were coming in here. Why weren't you playing senior year? Mm-hmm. We want you to go down to the SP and just develop, get some games under your belt, and then see what happens from there. And I was just like,
fuck that. Yeah.
No offense to anyone who does it. I just was like, I was bagging myself to try to make that team. And I was in a rough place mentally. And when I got released, I was just like, I can't take any more of this. I had already been getting scratched all of senior year, got sent down. My body was in a little bit of rough shape. And so that's when I decided to stop. I had studied finance in college, didn't really think I was interested in doing it. So I got my real estate license. My dad's in real estate. My older brother's in real estate. Started working for this small company in Manhattan. I was commuting in and out. Miserable. Like, hated it so much. Saw the work that had to be done to be successful. And I knew within 2 weeks, I was like, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. Fast forward maybe 2 months. I'm talking to Selman, just like our usual catch up. We talked all the time, still do. And he was like, man, we've got a bunch of guys injured over here and we need players bad. And we were just joking about it. I remember exactly where I was standing. I'm about to get in the subway to commute back home to Jersey, just miserable on my ass. And I was like, dude, I could probably pick it right back up. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I guarantee you could pick it right back up. I'm going to call the coach right now and like, just drop your name, see what happens. I take the subway home, get home that same night. I get a call, from Rob, the coach. And, he was like, how fast can you be in Tulsa, Oklahoma? I don't know. Tomorrow, 2 days from now. Mm-hmm. So they got me out there 2 days after that. I called in my real estate company. I was like, hey, I mean, I had no obligation to be there anyway. You're kind of working for yourself in real estate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I got this opportunity to go play pro hockey. I'm going to take it. I'll let you know when I'm coming back, if ever. Probably not. So yeah, that was it, man. Like, I had an agent at the time, but he wasn't really working for me anymore. Not like that I didn't like him, but he thought I was done too. Mm-hmm. And so Sel became my agent at that point. He's going to hold that over my head for a while. I owe him a cut. I still owe him 10%.
Your agent looks over at Hockey DB and is like, what? Ryan's playing again?
I can't remember clearly, but I think at some point he may have reached out. He's like, saw you just got picked up by Tulsa. Like, congrats.
You owe me. Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what was said there. I don't think he cared that he wasn't involved.
But did you find the love for hockey again when you went back to Tulsa?
In a way.
Uh-huh. Or you're just happy to get the fuck out of real estate?
I was really happy to get out of real estate. I knew it was a temporary thing. I knew I was filling in for injured guys. So I more than anything, I was using that time to like think again, like, what do I want to do when I'm out of here? Which was inevitable.
But it's nice that you had hockey to delay that a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And I was only there for like 3 weeks tops. We were in Tulsa for a week and then we went on like a 10-day road trip to Colorado, Utah. So I got the full experience. Yeah. I was on a sleeper bus in the shitty top level, like 20-hour road trip. But I was probably missing the subway. It was better than the subway, especially because I was like, guys again, like playing hockey. And I knew it was temporary. I wasn't like, man, I got to do 7 or 8 months of this. I was like, I might do this twice and then that's it.
I think the real question is if Tulsa calls right now, could you get it going? Could you get the skates back on? Not saying obviously now, totally different position. Like you love what you're doing now currently and stuff like that. But if you didn't love what you were doing right now, could you pick it back up?
I've honestly thought about that. I honestly, because every time I go out and play now, since there's no pressure on, I feel good. Mm-hmm. Like I'm still young enough and in shape enough where I feel good out there. I haven't really lost the skill set yet. I'm just an absolute injury machine right now. I could be doing the dumbest thing and I like pull a muscle.
Yeah.
And you'd think it'd go the other way because I'm constantly like training and I do a lot of mobility, stretching and stuff like that. I've just been dealing with so many issues stemming from my hips since playing hockey that I swear I'm not joking. I pulled my quad playing kickball.
Shut up, really?
Like, it's the dumbest shit. So that's why I'm careful even playing men's league anymore. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to drink and party? Like, or do you just, like, literally treat your body like a temple?
I go through phases.
Yeah.
I've never been, like, a crazy partier anyway. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I'll, like, let go and go pretty hard. But for the most part, I would say, like, 85, 90% of the time, I'm treating my body pretty well.
Yeah.
And then there will be, like, a couple times where I'll post myself eating donuts and there's always going to be people saying like, how do you eat donuts and stay in shape? And I'm like, because I don't eat donuts 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here eating like chicken, rice and broccoli.
What I think is, what I think is pretty funny is the fact, I mean, you mentioned prior, you got your degree in finance, right?
Yeah.
Like we get so many people on here and it's like, oh yeah. Like, what are you doing now? Like, does it have anything to do with your major? And it's so crazy. Like, well, I mean, you wouldn't think you were going to be, you know, doing what you're doing now. Like, you got a fucking finance degree. Like, it's crazy. I mean, like, it's just crazy to think, like, the people we get on here. Like,
yeah, I'd say 90% of our guests don't work in what their major was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I knew pretty quickly that I wasn't going to do anything with it. Mm-hmm.
It's just something, it's more of just like something like to get, like, honestly. Like, I mean, I was supposed to be a pre-law major at one point, and then, like, I end up switching when I transferred. And it's just like a whole big shit show. It's more just like a piece of paper. I already graduated. All right, now what the fuck am I going to do?
For sure. I didn't even think of it as a career until I was like done playing hockey. I was like, wait a second. Why didn't I study something I was interested in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But looking back, like have no regrets getting the degree, because having a business degree is super useful mm-hmm. no matter what you do. Even as an employee of a gym, like a trainer, I still understand what's going on behind the scenes. I haven't because I'm fairly new, but if I were asked, I could give my 2 cents on business decisions, and I feel confident about that. So I think that it puts you ahead in anything you do, even if you don't use it.
But at the end of the day, like the people and the relationships you've met, like throughout like your whole entire hockey career and leading up to that, like I'm sure 100% paid off more, especially in what you're doing now.
Absolutely. It's so much more about that than what the paper actually says. Mm-hmm. It's about everything that went down, everybody that you met in those 4 years, five for me. But yeah, no regrets about what I studied. It just happened to not be what I wanted to pursue afterwards.
Can you talk about how you got out to LA? And where in LA are you living?
I'm in West Hollywood.
Very cool.
Yeah. How many fucking people like New York, New Jersey? It's always LA. Everybody's always out in LA.
And everyone in LA wants to come live in New York. It's just how it is. Like people just like want to change the scenery. Like I want to live in LA because I've been in New York forever, and people that I know in LA want to be in New York.
But I'm saying, why is it LA? Why is it the fucking best?
I love LA.
Okay, that's understandable. So but Ryan, why was LA yours? Like your choice?
So I guess I'll just continue off of myself finishing real estate and going to play in the coast. Something that I wasn't really telling anybody about, other than maybe like my closest friends and immediate family members, was that I was also writing. I was writing like comedy stuff, nothing too long form, but I had wanted to be an actor when I was like 12 or 13 years old, but hockey was already starting to get serious. So I never really thought about doing it. I just kind of liked it. I like really goofy type comedy shit. And I was just playing with the idea of writing sketch comedies.
Like Big Mouth?
Big Mouth was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I figured. Once you said that, I had a vibe that you were a Big Mouth fan.
Huge Big Mouth fan. Huge mm-hmm. cartoon fan in general. I think some of the best writing is in cartoons because you have so much more freedom of
I agree.
You can portray. So many people, well, cartoons are stupid. Like, look how dumb he is. Look how dumb his voice is. I'm like, are you listening to what they're saying? Genius, man. Nick Kroll is a genius.
We had a guy on here, Eddie Portnoy, who's a Yiddish writer, and he was talking about cartoons and how great they are. And he was like, yeah, you could have a cartoon vagina. And I was like, yeah, and they speak. And he's like, well, the real ones, hopefully the real ones don't. It was pretty funny. We were talking about Big Mouth, actually. But yeah, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off with the vagina.
Cut me off whenever. When I got back from Tulsa, I was like, I was only there for 3 weeks. I haven't figured shit out yet. So I was like, you know what? I didn't like real estate. I didn't even give finance a shot yet. I started interviewing for finance jobs. That process went on for about 3 weeks to a month. I was full on interviewing. I was going into the city for interviews. I got flown out to Des Moines, Iowa for like a final round of interviews for this finance company that was going to be doing like some sort of insurance sales. And again, this time even quicker than real estate. I'm sitting in my interviews. These people are talking about what they do day to day. And I'm like,
nah, yeah, yeah,
this is not for me. I went through with the whole process because I had to see it through. I wasn't going to not even try to get these jobs, but I ended up with a couple job offers and I took 2 weeks to think about it. Both of them gave me 2 weeks. And same thing. I was just like, I don't want to do the work to be successful in this. It's not what I'm interested in. I can't waste my time, especially when you play a sport your whole life that you're so passionate about. You can't go from that to something you just can't stand. Mm-hmm. Like you were so used to chasing dreams and like chasing your passion that you can't go to the opposite end of the spectrum. I was just going to be miserable and I knew it. So finally I just was like, why do I think it's too late to try acting? Why do I think it's too late to try writing? I had no obligations there at the time on the East Coast. LA had always kind of been like this dream for me. Mm-hmm. And that was the time. It was like, nothing's tying me down here. I have to go. Like, I got to go right now or else I'm going to regret it the rest of my life.
Are you still writing?
A little bit. But that side of things has slowed down for me a lot since starting at Dog Pound. I tried to do acting, writing, and training at the same time. And it was okay before Dog Pound. But once I was at Dog Pound, I was a full-time employee. I wasn't working for myself anymore.
Yeah.
It was impossible. But throughout quarantine, I was doing both. And my mindset at the time was pretty much whichever of these careers kind of starts to take off first, I'm just going to roll with it. Mm-hmm. And out of the blue, I got this dog pound job. And that was a sign for me to go that way for a little bit.
You ever walking down the street in LA and you see like a flyer up on the wall and it's like actor wanted and you're like, man, I'd be perfect for that role. Might as well just give it a shot and go try out.
Well, that's what, like, not physically walking down the street, but when you decide you want to act and people give you advice, you sign up for all these casting websites. Mm-hmm. So you're just scrolling through when you don't have any representation, you're just scrolling through, clicking on every single project, looking at every role. And you're like, even if you don't think you're good for it, you're like, I just need something. Maybe they'll see me. I'll change their minds. And you're just like, it's a grind. It's a serious grind. That's what I was doing for 3 years, my first 3 years here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Laz would be perfect for like a Pitch Perfect 4 role.
What role in Pitch Perfect 4 would I play?
I don't know. Bumper's younger brother.
That'd be cool. I would do that. Well, Ryan, what would your, you know, dream role, maybe not dream, but like, what would you be a perfect fit for? Like what show, what movie, like where do you kind of see yourself in the acting realm?
That's like the most common question I get asked, and I'm not going to lie.
I take it back.
No. Good question. I should be like, this is what I want to do. Uh-huh.
I kind of see something, but that's just me.
You
say it. Speak up.
Sorry. No. I see a character, but I don't know.
Say it.
I see Jesse from Breaking Bad.
Jesse Pinkman?
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's a serious role. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That would be wonderful. That's one of the best performances ever, in my mm-hmm. opinion. Would love if I could get to that level. I still see myself doing like really goofy shit, like sketch comedies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the show, I Think You Should Leave.
Dude, I fucking love that show. Not only do I love that show, the memes it's created on Twitter are epic. I'm a big Twitter guy. I constantly scroll through Twitter and I'm just always seeing Tim Robinson memes and GIFs. It's so funny.
It's like the funniest show in the world.
I love that show. Oh my God. We have the same humor. Yeah, we have the same humor. Cappy, have you seen that?
Nope.
Oh my God. It's so, it's like a Key and Peele kind of, but.
I love Key and Peele.
So yeah, you'd love it then. It's just like stupid skits.
Okay.
I don't always recommend that show to everybody. I'm like, I need to get a feel for your sense of humor before I can like tell you that I like that. Because otherwise you're just going to look at me like I'm a crazy person. Because it's absurd. It's like very
weird. It's hit or miss for sure. I love the one from the second season. I think it's like the first episode when he's like hiding the hot dog in his sleeve at the meeting. You can't skip lunch.
Do you have a hot dog in your sleeve? I'm so tired.
You have to really love stupid comedy though to love that show. Like I like Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorite movies. So like, you know, if you're into that kind of comedy, then you would love I Think You Should Leave. It's so fucking funny. I'm actually crying right now thinking about it. It's so funny.
This that same first episode, the ghost sketch at the end. I don't remember. That one had me absolutely crying my eyes out laughing. It's just
even the one. What's the girl Vanessa from SNL? She's in one. What's her last name? Like
Vanessa Beyer.
Yeah, and she does like she's at lunch with her friends and she's doing an Instagram caption like out to lunch with these pig fucks. It's so funny. We're probably talking too much about this, but I love that show. So what were you going to say about that? You want to be in that show?
I would love to do sketch comedy roles like that. Yeah, just like crazy characters doing really goofy shit, like physical comedy and just obscure, like dark humor. Like I have a pretty dark sense of humor. Shows like that. Shows like Rick and Morty, which is obviously another cartoon.
Never seen it.
Unreal show. Great show.
Yeah. But, speaking of which, one of the other things that I wanted to pursue when I got here was voiceover. I wanted to do like voices for cartoons. So I've got like a mic. I thought about setting it up.
Put it in.
Will it mess up the,
I'll edit it in. Well, we could pause it or whatever. I'll just skip this part, but I want to hear, can you do some impressions?
Not off the top of my head. I don't do impressions. Uh-huh. That might be bad on the spot. It's more like just, in conversation with friends, like I'm always just like whipping out weird voices and shit. Uh-huh. And it's more like that. It's not like celebrity impersonations.
Man, I brought this up when we had, I'm going to draw a blank here. The guest we had on who was a really, really great.
Matthew Friend.
We had Matthew Friend on and I brought up that a around all my friends, I always used to like try and if somebody was like making fun of their grandpa or like their friend, I'd always do impersonations, but every single one of mine would sound like a Jewish impersonation. Do you remember me talking about that? Terrible.
You do the good Jewish grandparent very well. You have that one down, but that's like your go-to.
Exactly. So no, yeah, but it could be a hockey player, you know, anything to be the same thing.
It's like, and I love you, man, when Paul Rudd does the impressions and like his wife, I forgot her name, but she always says like, why does everything you do sound Irish?
Exactly. That's me.
It's like you, Kev. Everything you do sounds like a Jewish grandpa.
Ryan, I kind of want to rewind real quick before we get into a little segment we do.
Wait, he's going to give us his voices.
Oh,
I don't know if you do voices on the spot. I'm like, oh shit, I don't have like voices off the top of my head.
I feel like if you saw, like if we gave him like a random character and he'd give like a good like voiceover for like what the character sounded like, you know what I mean? Like a random character, not like a one that's already on television.
That might go okay, but it could also be like, yo, scrap that whole 20 minutes.
I feel like you have something that you're hiding from us.
I think I'm more just shy about it than anything. We're like, I'll pull it out when I'm comfortable. But if someone's like, yo, do voices, I'm like, I don't have anything for you right now.
I'm sorry. Do we not make you comfortable?
I'm pretty
uncomfortable. Yeah. No. We're good. We're good. Don't put them on the spot too hard. Maybe if once we get up,
I won't hesitate to do it.
When we when we go off,
yeah, we'll organically bring it up again in the interview.
Exactly. But before we get into the little segment, we talked before. You mentioned a little men's league story you had, because shout out to my boy Nico Blatchman, just had a terrible men's league injury with a quick little 10 stitches over his eye. But
shout out to my boy for the injury.
Sorry, go ahead, Ron.
I was just with Fink in New York like a month ago, and we finally talked about this. This was something nobody spoke to me about after it happened, and I was just in shock. But I come out for there's like the CAA league on Mondays. Creative Artists Agency puts together like this Monday pickup league. And one of my buddies put me in contact with Fink. He invited me to come out and play. And the first day that I'm there, this is my first time skating in well over a year. I was so pumped because like the first year after my hockey career was like really tough. Every time I went out on the ice, it was like kind of upsetting. I was like, this is weird that I'm not doing this as a career anymore. But so much time had gone by. Like, I was in quarantine for a while, super pumped to get on the ice. I start playing, not even going that hard, but there's this one defenseman on the other team who started being kind of physical with me. And the first time it happened, we were against the wall, and he kind of pinned me against the wall with his stick. And I was like, he didn't mean anything by it. Like, he just wanted to get the puck, and it wasn't like a hard hit, but still, like, I don't feel like being hit out here. Next time I go to take him wide, he popped me like in the chest with both of his hands. And I was, that's when I stopped. I was like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he was like, you're not doing any of that fancy shit by me tonight. And I was like, okay. All right. Next time I have the puck, I was like, I'm 100% doing some fancy shit around this guy tonight now. And I put the puck through his legs, and he did not care at all where the puck went. He stared at me the whole time, probably good defense. Mm-hmm. Technically speaking, but then he hit me as I put the puck through his legs under the chin. And at that point I got really pissed and I smacked his stick out of his hands, and like it went flying across the ice. That was pretty much the end of it that night. I come out again the next night praying this guy's not going to be there.
I'm waiting to hear who this is. I feel like it's someone famous.
I'll get there. I actually don't know his name off the top of my head, but I can find it pretty quick. And like Fink could definitely tell you. I'm praying this guy is not there the next week. I'm like, I was so excited to go play hockey, and this asshole is taking it way too serious, getting upset that I was like faster than him or whatever. Next week he's there again, literally the first shift, not joking you, same exact thing. He pops me underneath the chin, like popping my helmet up a little bit. And I stop right in front of him. We have some words, and he literally dropped his gloves. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to fight you in men's league, but stop touching me. Like, this is not okay.
And he's just doing it to you?
Just to me. Literally just to me. Nobody else clearly had something against me for whatever reason.
I thought you were Jewish, but you weren't.
I thought I was, so that was the thing. So he goes over to the bench. I stayed on the ice, and I hear this guy still yelling at me from the bench. So I skate over there, and I stop right in front of the bench, and I'm like, dude, what? As soon as I stop right in front of the bench, this dude drops his gloves, grabs me over the top of the head from the bench, and pulls me into him, and he's ripping my helmet off and like giving me shots under the chin, from the bench. So I have no leverage. I'm on the ice and he's behind the boards pulling on the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And he like broke my helmet. I pulled my tricep, which I didn't want to admit for the longest time, but just like when he yanked me like that, right at the beginning of the game, I felt a pull in my arm. Like I said, injury machine here. I played the rest of the game because I had too much pride to be like, I just got hurt.
Yeah.
And jumped in men's league.
And you don't know like why this guy is doing this to you? Like, you don't, is there like.
But the only thing anyone said about it is when I got back to the bench, my buddy who originally invited me out to the game was like, he's done this to me before. He does it one time and then he stops. So you should be good now.
You should be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good now, I guess. But still, the reasons were unknown. Nobody said a word about it. I couldn't play for the longest time. And then that was it, man. And then I didn't talk about that until I saw Fink in New York like a month ago. And he's like, dude, that guy, well, I don't know what his deal is, but finally we said something to him after that he had to stop and he hasn't come to play since.
I was going to say, so, have you seen that guy since?
I have not seen him since, but I found out that, do you know Prince Street Pizza?
Dude, I fucking love Prince Street Pizza.
Like he owns it.
He's like the owner of Prince Street Pizza.
Is he? Can you connect us? Because I love that place.
I will not connect him with anybody right now.
We got to go down there and find him.
Have you had Prince Street Pizza?
Yeah, I love it. That so was why good. I was so – I'm never going back. unless the guy, like, apologizes or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, man, that was really shitty because, like I said, I was so pumped to play. Finally, just feeling good about getting back on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I got jumped and kind of beat up. And
my it's a good video for social media. The Prince Street Pizza guy kick your ass.
Definitely gonna tag Prince Street Pizza for sure.
Yeah, your owner's beating up our friends.
I don't
give us free pizza.
Don't quote me, it's on tape, but
don't quote me. Yeah, it's recorded.
I don't know if he's 100%. I don't know if he's 100% the owner.
This guy. Some random for this pizza place is gonna get bombarded with emails. Just and it's not gonna be him.
Yeah. Well. I hope it's him for that reason, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you go play again and see him. I want to know what happens.
I don't know if I'll play in that league again. We'll see. Because now I'm in a men's league. I'm an alternate in a men's league because I can't make it every week. So I'd rather stay with like the same team each time and same guys. But yeah, I still enjoy skating.
Any cool like former pros that are out there with you?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of the last times I skated, Matt Gilroy was out there.
Oh, that's pretty cool. He's in LA?
Former New York Applecore.
Yeah, Long Island boy.
He lives here, or if he was just like in town for a little bit. His wife might be doing something that's out here. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to him much, just a tiny bit on the bench, just like, oh shit, you're Matt Gilroy.
Yeah, he's Hobie Baker.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that went.
Matt Gilroy's like, oh yeah, I heard about you. You got jumped by that guy who owned the pizza place.
That's awesome.
The pizza guy.
That's good. All right. Well, let's hop into this segment that we love to do on this podcast called the Matzo Ball Minute Questions. Going to rattle off a quick few for you. Start with this one. The coolest client you guys currently have over at the Dog Pound.
If you can talk about it, I don't even know if you can.
Yeah.
I post on social media, so. Yeah, I was going to say, I think talking about who's there is fine, but I can't obviously go into too much detail about them.
Yeah.
Coolest. How you mean coolest? Like
your favorite. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, yeah, your favorite personally.
Probably Dylan Francis, just because he's like got that exact same sense of humor. We talk about I Think You Should Leave all the time. He's just a very down-to-earth dude. You would never be like, that's Dylan Francis, because he's super unassuming, just comes in, does his work, jokes around, is nice to everybody. So yeah, he's probably like my favorite big name to train, but almost all of them are really cool. Nobody is like, none of them are really entitled coming in there like just expecting the world. They're all there to like do work and
Dylan Francis is sick, but it's I feel like you probably when he walks in you put like all of his house bangers on the loudspeaker and just let him work out to his own music.
Almost any time a musician comes in we'll like toss on one or two of their songs while they're there to work out, and they always appreciate it, and everyone just goes nuts in the gym when
of course
that's cool.
Yeah. I got at least over 10 of his songs on my playlist, that's for sure. Yeah. This is kind of a tricky one. Favorite old cartoon show and favorite new one. So like, for example, mine's Jimmy Neutron and Rick and Morty.
Oh, that's a really good one. Cause you know, I love a lot of cartoons. I grew up watching way too much South Park, like more than a child.
I love South Park.
I go back and watch it now though, and it's just, it doesn't hit the same. So I'll say that was my favorite one growing up. That or like SpongeBob, underrated, hilarious show. And favorite new one, probably Rick and Morty as well. Rick and Morty, Big Mouth, those are my top two right now.
Wait, even the new seasons of South Park don't hit the same for you? Like the new ones I still find really funny.
Occasionally, I think they did a really good job with the pandemic special.
Yeah.
Both of those. Maybe the second one was even better. But once they started making their episodes sequential and you kind of had to watch the previous one to understand exactly what was going on, it lost some of its flair to me because it stopped being so random. And that's something I love about it. It's just like the random tidbits that happen in cartoons.
Yeah. So Family Guy is not your number one?
Family Guy is way up there.
It's the most number one. It's the most random shit ever.
It is. It's just, it's definitely top five. I've just always been more South Park than Family Guy when it comes to old cartoons.
Yeah. Who do you think like is able to, like, I mean, they both are, but like from like a wherever you could say whatever the fuck you want standpoint, like who do you think is more Family Guy or South
Park? That's actually a really good question.
Wow, man. They both get away with so much that I don't think a new show could get away with.
Right? Yeah. It's insane. I think the craziest thing too is how much shit they predict like in the future.
That's Simpsons. That's a Simpsons that's known for that.
Yes, it is a Simpsons. That's another good one, by the way, that we didn't that we didn't mention. But
I don't really watch that one.
But still OG classic. I feel like that's a little bit before our time.
Definitely.
Yeah, OG. Simpsons like on the tail end. I would watch it a little bit when it was on, but Family Guy was already around and that one to me was way funnier.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that South Park is definitely more vulgar, but Family Guy will like rip into celebrities so much harder. South Park does too. It's so hard.
Yeah, it does.
The first thing I thought of was like the Tom Cruise episode.
I was saying the R. Kelly episode.
R. Kelly and Tom Cruise, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the same one. It's the same
one. Tom, you gotta come out of the closet.
I'm not coming out of the closet.
That's a great episode. That's what Scientology? The reincarnation of L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
All time favorite episode, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's where I pulled out my gun.
I love South Park.
All right, Ryan, since we know you're an absolute sculpture, what's your ultimate cheat meal?
Donuts. I love donuts. Anyone will tell you. I'll like probably at least once a week, I'll go get like 3 to 4 donuts. But if I'm going like an actual full meal, pizza.
I love
not from Prince Street.
Yeah, I was going to say not from Prince Street. Are you a sandwich guy?
Kind of. There aren't that many good delis out here. Not like New York delis. We don't have good bagels.
I was going to ask you prior, like, what's the main thing you miss from, like, New Jersey being out in L.A.? It's got to be the bagels, the pizza, the fucking the delis.
Bagels by far the most, because even though the pizza here is in New York style, there's still some really good Italian restaurants, and they make it, like, a different style. So I don't really miss that as much. The bagels is, like, incomparable. Like, even the top bagel place here, I'll go there and be like, that was dust.
Yeah, that was dust. We got a link. Cap, we got a link Ryan with Dane, dude. They'd hit it off.
We do. You guys would eat some good ass food. That guy's the biggest foodie I've ever met in my life.
And he has his own sandwich spot in LA called Summer Camp Sandwich.
That, and he would be a great person to work out at the Dog Pound. Like he's a unit, and he's an actor.
He's an actor. He's a creature actor, a monster actor.
What does that mean?
He plays creatures in like shows. Like
you know, like scary monsters and stuff like that. Like you should see the makeup they do to him. Like it's nuts. And he's like 6'6" or something like that. That's why he's like able to do these parts.
Dane DeLegro. He played D1 basketball at UNH.
Is he a Boston guy?
Yeah. You know him?
Yeah, do you know Sam Kirker? I'm like shouting out old teammates now. I think Sam was the one that told me he was out here, but somebody from Boston was like, yo, you should link up with this guy, Dane. This was a long ass time
ago. Have you?
No.
Oh, I would love to connect you guys. He's like, dude, you guys would get along great. Like he's the man, like super cool dude. I'm sure he could, you know, use the training also because he's very like into his fitness and working out and stuff. So
yeah, just send him my info, send me his, whatever. That'll be cool.
Yeah, definitely a good guy to know. I'll talk to you after about that. But yeah, you guys should definitely meet.
Sounds good.
All right, two more for you. Best moment in your hockey career?
Winning the BCHL.
Who were you with?
Coquitlam Express.
Wait, hold on.
I've never known how to say that.
Hold on. You didn't play with Corey Mackin, did you?
He was my line mate the whole year, bro.
Shut the fuck up.
I lived with him. I don't know why I led off with line mate.
I lived with Corey last year and Alan. I also played at Ferris State with Corey for 3 years. He was my captain at Ferris.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I lived with Corey. He was my line mate. Me, him, and Rockwood. We were a line the whole year. We were like maybe the second leading scoring line in the league that year.
Yeah. Corey broke the record. I remember he got a tweet from like some NHLer who played for Coquitlam and was like, congrats on breaking my record or something like that. I forgot who it was.
And then Kyle Turris.
Yeah, Kyle Turris.
That was the year after I was gone, though. I was like, Corey, where were your 100 points last year?
He's a good dude. That's sick, though. I'm a goalie, and that's like the one league they tell you to stay away from the BCHL because every game's like 8 to 9, 10 to 5. It's crazy.
Nobody plays defense, all offense. It was my favorite year of hockey for that reason.
You also lived with Corey, too. The guy's an unreal guy, so I'm sure you had a great time.
Yeah, it was awesome. He was super nice, quiet. We played mini sticks in the basement all the time.
You meet his? You ever meet his parents?
Corey's parents? Yeah, briefly. Like,
oh, the best people. Crazy. Oh, the best people in the world. Fran and Dar. Oh my God, great people. Yeah. They just want to.
Fran and Dar.
Yeah, they literally are the quintessential like parents that want to get fucked up with the teammates and do everything with the team when they're with them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he was young. He didn't have that at that point. Like barely any of the guys were 21, so they didn't come party with us, but they were nice.
Hey, it's legal 19 to drink in Canada.
That's true. Forgot about that.
All right, last one for you though. And this is like, you might have to think about this one for a second. How many times realistically do you think you could bench press Laz?
I'm like 205 on a good day.
Right now?
I'm bottom heavy.
right now, 205, I could do 10 times for one set. I'm not like, my strength, I was stronger my freshman year of college in terms of like the numbers I put up than I am.
You had to. You were getting tested.
Yeah, I was getting tested. I was actually like trying to progress. Now I'm more in like maintenance mode. It's more about aesthetics, not going to lie. I'm not like I got a test. Like I have fitness testing.
Just trying to look good for Instagram.
Yeah. As long as I'm getting like a good pump, for lack of a better term. I'm such a meathead now. It's gross. But yeah, if I get a good workout, that's fine. I'm not trying to push my numbers on anything anymore. If I get stronger, I get stronger. But 205 for 10, that's my final answer.
That's pretty solid. So Ryan, we got one final question for you before we let you go. If you can go back and talk to the 15-year-old version of yourself, what would you tell him? And I feel like you have a very unique answer because you've done so much different shit, you know, in the last like 3-4 years. So I imagine, you know, you'd have a pretty unique answer for this one.
Am I supposed to like try to make this short, like a one phrase thing?
Some people,
whatever you want, man. Yeah.
Yeah. People have literally done it in 10 seconds. People have done it in a minute. It's whatever you want.
Or 10 minutes.
maybe not 10 minutes.
Honestly, the first thing I would say is take care of your mental health. Because I don't mean to get like deep right at the end.
Yeah,
no. Right.
I think so much of the success that will come in anyone's life is going to come from like believing in themselves and being stable mentally. Mm-hmm. Where I don't think I always was while I was playing. I was very anxious. I was very high and low. And I didn't realize that it was kind of like this roller coaster going on in my head until later, where I finally was like, yo, you need to kind of level out and figure out what's going on with this. Mm-hmm. So I would always say to anyone, not even obviously just myself, like be confident in yourself, learn about yourself, and trust yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good answer. And it's what you go have.
No, I'm sorry, Laz. I was just going to say, like, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of mental health, too. Especially, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Laz as well, being in the hockey community and stuff like that. We go through so much fucking shit day to day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're spitting straight facts, that's for sure. Yeah.
But you don't really get it till you go through it yourself. You know, like, I didn't really understand until I went through it.
Yeah, you don't even know that it's going on at the time until you, like, I kind of had, like, an inkling about it. During, but I was like, oh, this is just part of the process. Like I'm playing a sport, like there's all this pressure. But until like I was done, I didn't realize like you were pretty depressed. Like you were really anxious. It probably was really detrimental to your game, especially towards the end. Like I was in college getting scratched, like we talked about. And that lack of confidence like bled into everything in my life for a long time. Until I took care of it. And it's an ongoing process. I'm never going to be like, yo, I'm super confident right now. Like I just doubt myself all the time, but at least now I'm aware of it. So that's what I would say is just listen to what's going on inside your head. Don't just like shoo it away and think it's weak.
Yeah. No, 100%. And you know, we appreciate you saying that and being, you know, open and transparent like that. You know, really cool sure. That you're able to share that. I guess, you know, before we let you go, is there anything you want to plug or, you know, where can people find you on Instagram, Twitter, you on all that stuff, TikTok, probably, I don't know.
I'm on mostly Instagram. I don't have Twitter anymore, although I've been saying for months that I got to get a new one because
you do. I love Twitter. It's my favorite
app. I'm on TikTok, but more just to watch. I have not posted one thing. Instagram is Ryan Rosenthal 1-2. And I guess I got to plug Dog Pound and Essential Water.
Yeah. Why do you sponsor them?
They fill our gym with water.
I love Essential Water. It's my favorite.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I'm happy we have it there, but yeah, anybody in the LA area wants to get a workout in, you don't have to be famous. You don't need a certain amount of followers. We got really good trainers. Mm. The facility's unreal. So stop by.
We'll plug Topline Hockey too. I know you do some stuff with Justin also.
That should have been one of the first things I said too.
No, so,
but like a few seconds there. Topline Hockey, they're doing really big things for youth development, youth hockey development in Jersey. Getting players hooked up with gear, top of the line training on the ice, in the gym, covering all the essentials that you need to get to the next level.
Yeah, I could see Selman going out to LA and you being the personal, you know, fitness trainer for the top line clients.
We've dropped that before, like in passing, like you should open a top line LA. Yeah. I'll run out here, but I think that he's got a lot going on there for now. He's got to figure out his main location first before he can think about moving across the country.
For sure, in due time.
Well, yeah. Ryan, we want to thank you so much for doing this. A lot of fun. And, you know, obviously we like to welcome back every guest. So if you ever want to come back on, you know, just say the word and we'll have a spot for you.
For sure. Thanks for having me. I'm sure next time that you reach out to me, I'll probably be like doing something entirely different. So I'll have new stories to tell.
Yeah, that'd be great. We prefer it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We hope you guys love the interview with our boy, Ryan Rosenthal. If you haven't checked him out on social media, it's _handsome. No, that's something Johnny would say, but I wouldn't have thought of that.
I give you credit. That was a good one.
Thanks, buddy. If you haven't checked out Underdog, dude, now you got me fucking all over the place. If you haven't checked out Dog Pound, and Underdog Fantasy. Now, if you haven't checked out Dog Pound, please go check it out. It's amazing. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy he found something after hockey that he loves, because we talked about throughout the interview. It's tough, man. It's tough to find something, especially when you do it for so long, that, you know, something that sticks. So it's good. Happy for
him. He's the man. And it's funny how he ended it. He said, you know, next time he comes back on, he'll be doing something else. Probably. He's just like a, you know, I guess a guy likes to do a lot of different things, which I can appreciate. But yeah, it was awesome. I was actually DMing the Dog Pound Instagram account today, 'cause they were like, yes, like they were pumped that he was coming on. And dude, how funny would it be? I mean, you're still kind of in like pro athlete shape, but to go to the Dog Pound and like try to keep up with him in a workout. Brett, I don't know if you saw this guy, but oh my God, man, he looks like a fucking Greek sculpture. Greek sculpture. Oh my God, what'd I just say?
I think I would be fine, to be honest with you, in the workout, but I think it would be funny. Like, I think you should go down to Dog Pound, like, next time you're in LA and, like, take photos. You know how, like, Brett's, like, I got, like, these people on his, like, Instagram, like, doing, like, workouts, and then it's just you, but, like, make it, like, funny, like, have, like, your, like a headband around your head and, like, some, like, aerobic stuff.
Dude, I literally have not squatted in probably 3 months. Like, I always said to my friends, like, when I was playing hockey, I was like, how do you guys not work out your legs? Like, you're gonna look stupid. And like, here I am, I haven't fucking touched my legs once. And like,
yeah, well, that's the thing, is I don't work out my legs too much, because when I'm playing in net, I'm squatting the whole game.
Speaking of working out and speaking of staying healthy, gotta give a shout out to our sponsor, Mindset Wellness CBD. They have everything you need in order to want to work out. The Happy Gummies, the Focus Gummies, those help me work out sometimes. And then they also have the cream to help your muscle. What? They do. I like to be happy and focused when I work out. You don't like to be happy?
Oh, I like that you said sometimes. It's just like, it was funny.
Oh, because I do work out maybe twice a week.
And because you just talked about how you haven't squatted in fucking 7 years.
Well, there's other workouts than squatting, dipshit. But yeah, no, I haven't worked out in a long time. I whatever. But yeah, go to mindsetwellness.com and use our code LOCKA10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your order. That's LOCKA10, LATKE10 for 10% off and free shipping on your order. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. We got another one coming for you next week. Any final thoughts?
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Love you guys. Talk to you next week.
Later.